faithful in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
We'll turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. I'm reading from the Revised Standard. Therefore, my brethren, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Paul says that the saints in Philippi are his joy and crown. Why? Well, because despite the obstacles and difficulties that they faced, they remained faithful to Christ. And these saints remained in Christ and continued to support Paul even against great odds. My friends, we continue to face obstacles here, now, today, as we endure all of the changes and trials. Just last night, there were a bunch of trials and tribulations that many people face. But it goes on. There's change going on all around us. We've had storms. We've had sicknesses, etc. But we continue to face these obstacles. And as we face them, we remain in Christ. We are the Lord's joy and crown when we remain in Christ. And God rejoices over us as well. So this letter to Philippi is Paul's most intimate and cordial of all of his epistles. And I'm going to put a challenge before you during this season of Lent. This word that Paul gave in this four chapters of this letter, it's only 104 verses, okay? I counted, I made sure. Okay, 104 verses. It takes you about 10 minutes to read the whole thing in one sitting. I know, because I read it three times in one sitting this week. It's just so encouraging. It is so uplifting. And I would challenge you to read the epistle to the Philippians at least once a week during this season of Lent. Make that just part of your ministry. I believe it will encourage you and exhort you, and it will just uplift you, I believe. And so please do that, okay? But this letter, it's characterized by joy. In those 104 verses, 19 times Paul uses the word rejoice or joy, okay? It's an ongoing theme in him in that particular word. And there are familiar verses throughout this epistle, things that you hear all the time, you probably know by heart, but you didn't realize, oh, this came from the book of Philippians, all right? I'm just going to give you a couple of examples. Just in chapter 2 alone, there's bukus of them, all right? In chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it says that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There you go. Okay, one. And the following verses after that, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for God is at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. It's in Philippians. Okay. Chapter 3, verse 8, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. And chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There you go. Wow. Okay. And meet the verse, well, it's after, a bit after that, 4:13. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Ah, that's a good one. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. And then it ends, the whole book ends with this promise. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You have no need to be afraid. You have no need to be anxious. God is going to supply your every need according to his riches. Wow. I mean, this is a really affirming book. I encourage you to read it. All right? But don't be fooled. It doesn't mean all the troubles and trials will go away. They didn't go away for the church at Philippi. They didn't go away for Paul. They were not joy-filled Christians because everything was going well or God had made their life easy. No. They were hard. Times were hard for both Paul and Philippi. Let me give you a couple of examples. Paul was in prison when he wrote it. Did you know that? He was in Rome, in prison, facing death when he wrote this. In chapter 1, verse 7, and in chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, he talks about his imprisonment, and he says that my imprisonment is for Christ. And the church at Philippi, in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. God didn't change the perverse generation that they were living in. He placed them there as lights in the midst of the darkness. Wow. And in chapter 3, verse 17, which we had in the epistle for today, for many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Even in the church, there were those who were living as enemies of the cross of Christ. And so he exhorts the saints to stand firm. Stand firm in one spirit with one mind, he says. Okay? So from the very beginning, I mean, if you go back and look at Acts of the Apostles in chapter 16, that's when Paul first goes to Philippi. He had been ministering in Asia, but now he had been called to go into Europe. And so Philippi is his first outreach into that. And he and Silas were taken out into the square and they were beaten with rods and then they were thrown into prison and left there to rot. Now, mind you, God pulled them out of that prison. They were really kind of cool. I mean, you know. Anyway. But the church at Philippi stood by them through that. And that's why they are his joy and his crown. They never wavered, even when things looked the darkest. They stood firm in Christ. They became his joy and his crown. And so he writes this warm and encouraging letter to them. They sent it while he's in prison in Rome. Epaphroditus brings him a gift from the church at Philippi. Oh, wow. They're not asking him to give them something. They're providing for his every need. They're looking to the other, not to themselves. Hallelujah. Okay? And so he writes this encouraging letter. Mind you, it's the only letter he wrote that was that kind of encouragement. There were encouraging parts in the other letters, but think about it. What did he say to the church at Corinth? Oh my gosh, you're a mess. You guys are fighting with each other. I belong to Paul. I belong to Apollos. I belong to Cephas. I belong to Christ. Oh yeah, they're all fighting with each other. Oh, who's the greatest? They don't even get the Eucharist right. He has to send them a correction on how to celebrate the Eucharist. Oh, and don't forget, there's the guy who's living with his father's wife. Oh yeah, there's all that sexual stuff as well. And don't forget, all the spiritual gifts, they're screwing them up all over the place, you know? And he's sending these harsh corrections. Apparently, if you read 2 Corinthians, there was also another letter that we don't have anymore. And he was talking about, I'm sorry about that really harsh letter I sent to you, but, you know, if that one was harsh, what were these other two? Oh, my gosh. Okay. And Galatia. Oh, my gosh. They've gone back.
They're going back to the old ways, and they're requiring everybody to be circumcised. Oh, you foolish Galatians! You know? Okay, so Paul is giving encouragement to them with correction, all right? But with this church at Philippi, his love for them is just overwhelming. And so he calls them his joy and his crown. It was joy because for him it was an encouragement too, because he knows that he did not labor in vain. They got it. They got it. And that's awesome. And it's a crown. No, that's not a royal diadem kind of crown. This is a crown of victory, like a victory wreath that the one who wins the race has on it. Okay, that's what that Greek word means in this context. And so they were victorious over all the trials and tribulations that they were facing in their life. How were they victorious? They were more than conquerors in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. And we too, through hardships, can be a joy and a crown for our Lord. We too can be victorious in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can be more than conquerors in Christ through hardships, through trials, through tribulations in life, because we remain in Christ Jesus. So, my friends, you are the Lord's joy and crown when you are in Christ. And so we stand fast and God rejoices over us. We have that promise in the book of Zephaniah, the prophet Zephaniah, in chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord says through the prophet, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival." Wow, what a promise. What a promise. The Hebrew word for rejoice that's used here is samach. And it denotes not just a heart, not just a joyful heart, okay? A sense of joyfulness within us. Joyful, glad hearts in the Hebrew tradition have physical expression over and over and over again, okay? Denotes being glad or joyful with our hearts, our minds, our bodies. Our full being has to express this joy. That's the word that's being used here, okay? And the expression for joy, it's a festival kind of joy. It's the joy that you have when you're celebrating a feast of some variety, okay? And the Hebrew word literally means to dance, to skip, to leap, to spin around in joy, okay? That's literally what that word means. And so think about what that means for us. God is so delighted with you. God is so delighted with you that he dances over you with song. God loves you so much. He is so filled with joy over you that he dances over you and he sings over you and he rejoices over you with his full being. That's the God we love. That's the God we serve. Why would we go anywhere else? Yes, life is hard right now, but we are in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are victorious over these hardships and trials. Yes, they're still here, but we are victors over all of these trials and tribulations because we can rejoice in him and be in him as more than conquerors. And he, in turn, rejoices over us. And we are his joy and his crown. Amen. Amen.